this morning. Let's stand and shake hands with one another.
Above all. Father, we're here this morning to celebrate the fact that you are alive and well. We serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. He lives. He lives. The reason that I know is He lives within my heart. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. We ask, Father, that you would just speak to our hearts today. We're here to worship you. This is your house. We're your kids. We're here to read your word. This is not about us. It's about you. So, Father, we want to focus our minds on you. We want to take our minds off of the things of the day. We want to take our mind off of the things of the world. We want to take our minds off of the things that plague us and Lord, cause us to have anxiety. Lord, we lay those things down before you. You are a great God, able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine. And so we come in faith. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts for your salvation, for your provision, for your protection. Father, we come to worship you. We didn't come to impress anybody. We didn't come to check off our obligation. We came because we want to be in your presence. We came because we want to be with your people. We came because we want to hear what you have to say to us. So, Father, we ask you to help us give you the freedom to do whatever you need to do today. Lord, if we are an obstacle ourselves, we pray that you would help us to get out of the way. And then, Lord, help us to get in the way of whatever you're doing. Lord, we love you. We owe you everything. And we come today and we lay our burdens down and we lift our praises up. And we just ask you to give us guidance and direction as we go from this place to deal with our daily lives, all the stuff. Lord, we give our stuff to you. We accept the love and the grace and the mercy that you have to give to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who now indwells our heart. And Lord, we want to give our thoughts and our mind captive to him to lead us and to guide us. You said he would guide us into all truth. That's what we want, Father. We just want to be Spirit-led people. We want to be a blessing to those around us. We want to be a light to our world. We want to be a sweet fragrance. We want to be light in the darkness. Lord, we desire to do more than just exist. We desire to make a difference. All because of the presence and power of the Almighty in our lives. So, Father, we accept your grace. We confess to you our frailty, our sins, our iniquity. We ask you to forgive us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Sanctify us wholly. Empower us for victorious living. The Lord, as has already been spoken and thought and prayed several times, Lord, here we have an opportunity this week with children. Lord, we pray not only will we make an impact on the lives of those children, we pray those children will make an impact on us. That they'll make an impact in the homes that they come from. Maybe they're unsaved parents. Maybe they're unchurched families. Lord, we pray that the overflow of Bible school will change homes and lives. Pray your blessing upon all the workers, upon the staff, upon all that's done in preparation. Lord, may we know that if one soul comes to Christ, no dollar will be wasted. So, Father, we thank you for all that's invested, both time and money. Again, just have your will and your way in this service today. Take our burdens and shoulder them for us. You said to come to you, those of us who are heavy laden, you'd give us rest. So, Lord, we want to rest in you today. We want you to have your will and your way. And we pray that you would be honored and glorified by what we say and do for the rest of this morning and the rest of this day. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we ask it and that we surrender all of our situations and believe in confidence that God will meet our needs. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Sing with me. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How many of you serve a great God? All right, amen. You can clap. That's all right. We clap. We need to clap for God once in a while. Appreciation. Yeah, applause. Somebody makes a great play, we applaud. You know, God's making great plays all the time. All right, Ted, I'm going to switch over. Lord, for the tech crew, sound and video and all those things that they make to work properly. Sometimes we give them fits. We hold microphones in crazy ways and do crazy things with them, and we just want them to make us sound exactly the same all the time. So their job sometimes is a thankless task. So Justin and Ted, we say thank you this morning for what you do as part of our praise team and all the work that they do. We've got a sound guy in Italy. He'll come home here before long and be a part of that crew. And we've got other people that maybe are showing some interest in some of our video and those kinds of things. And we're thankful and excited about that as well. Well, we are continuing this morning in our series from the lessons of Bible school. When life is unfair, God is. When life is scary, God is. When life changes, God is. And when life is sad, God is good. Psalms 34 and verse 18 is the text for the day. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Anybody here ever had a broken heart? Anybody here ever felt the pressure of life and situations? Felt like you were maybe in one of those metal crushers, you know, car crusher things, and you're just feeling like the pressures of life are on you and you don't know exactly where you're going to go and what you're going to do. Well, that's what we're talking about this morning. We want to continue to think in terms. We've been talking about the Israelites coming out of Egyptian bondage and some of the situations that happened there. We know that life is filled with situations and circumstances that can make us sad. We probably need to understand this morning, though, and make a distinction between sad and depressed. Sad is an emotional pain associated with or characterized by feelings of loss, grief, despair, disappointment, and there's a whole list of other things. But sadness is not depression. Sadness is an emotion. Sadness is temporary. Sadness can be overcome simply by being reminded of some of the good things in life and the hope that we have in Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. Depression, on the other hand, good, holy, sanctified Christian people can deal with depression And depression very often can require some kind of medication, or it may require some kind of therapy to be able to process through some things. It's much different than sadness. Okay? First of all, the idea that Christian people can't be depressed is a lie out of hell. Christian people are human beings, and therefore subject to all the stuff that has happened to this world as a result of Adam and Eve's sin. Sadness, though, is an emotion, and it comes and goes. It fluctuates. And so that's what we're dealing with this morning, is this issue of sadness. And so let's go back to these guys who were traveling on this journey, and let's look at some of the pieces of the journey. Obviously, we're not going to be all-inclusive, but let me take you to Numbers chapter 20 this morning, and Deuteronomy chapter 32 for kind of the biblical basis. And then there actually is a second biblical basis that's a little more contemporary in the Scriptures, a New Testament position. But let me read to you first from Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh, and there Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. So we're going to jump down to verse 6. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together." Listen very closely here. The Lord said to them, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock." Full instructions. "Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water, and you will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. Cool. A miracle. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." These were the waters of Meribah where the Israelites quarreled in the Lord with the Lord, and where he showed himself holy among them. And then I want us to jump to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And in Deuteronomy 32, beginning at verse 48, it reads like this: "On that same day, the Lord told Moses, 'Go up into the Abarim range to Mount Nebo in Moab across from Jericho and view Canaan, the land I am giving the Israelites as their own possession. There, on the mountain that you have climbed, you will die and be gathered to your people, just as your brother Aaron died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. This is because both of you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin, and because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. Therefore, you will see the land only from a distance. You will not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel." And then, in verse 30, chapter 34, we read these words: "Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. And there the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over unto it.' Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all these miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Moses. Who doesn't know about Moses? Miriam died and they grieved. Aaron died and they grieved. Moses died and they grieved. Sadness is a part of life. I feel pretty confident that that when Moses took it upon himself to do a little more than God instructed, that he was kind of full of himself because God had been doing some really cool things through him. Been using him in a mighty way. And so he just embellished a little bit. You know how people are. They add a little bit. And so God said, whack that rock. No, he just said, speak to the rock. Moses spoke to the people and whacked the rock. And God honored that and gave the people water because that's what he was really all about, was taking care of his people. But he immediately said to Aaron and Moses, guys, gave you a simple task. You had to do it your own way. You had to add to it. You had to do it different than I instructed. And as a result of that, as a result of doing your own thing, your own way, the end result is you don't go in the promised land. I'm going to put you up on a mountain. I'm going to show you the promised land. And right after you see the promised land, you're going to die. And the people are going to go in the promised land. You're not going. Moses has led these guys around for a few days. I'm thinking he wanted to get in on the party. You know, when you work for something, when you start something, you want to see it through to finish. That's part of the fulfillment and the satisfaction of a job well done, is seeing the end product. Being able to enjoy the fruit of your labors. You know. But the lesson this morning is, when life is sad, God is good. And here's what we know. That in this biblical example, God in his infinite wisdom began a little while before this to prepare a man named Joshua. And when he pronounced judgment, and he did pronounce judgment, do you understand? God told Moses, you're not going in and you're going to die, and both of those things happened exactly the way he said. A lot of people think they can get God to bend the rules and make exceptions. A lot of people think they're living in exceptions right now. They're not. God is God, and what he says sticks. But God loves his people, and God has a plan. And no one of us is bigger than God's plan. Now, I believe God fully intended to take Moses from Egypt into Canaan. I think that was God's intention. But it was Moses and his own self-will that got in the way and caused him to miss the promised land. Plan B. Moses, if you're not going to lead these people across the river and into the promised land, I got a guy who will. His name is Joshua. And so it became a very positive thing that this confident warrior, leader, strategist, strong man of faith as well as a strong man physically, was appointed to take the children in. But all along the way, there was stuff that made the people sad. So, okay, preacher, what's that mean for me today? Well, here's what I want us to think about. What makes me sad? Sadness is an emotion. Love is an emotion. Love is the character of God, but it's also an emotion. Passion is emotion. And here's what the deal is with emotion. Emotions can be good and bad both. The depending on how we submit them and subject them to God. Emotion is what causes us to experience life, the good, the bad, and to go through life. To be quite honest, to go through life without any emotion, I think, would be pretty boring. If nothing mattered, how much fun would life be? You see, sadness is the price we pay for our ability to form bonds with one another. Sadness is when experience doesn't meet expectation. So let's just think real quick. What might cause sadness? Justin, I think you have a picture there that has my last name across a rock, and an American flag that's on that. There you go. That's my dad's grave. Matter of fact, my name is right on the back of that tombstone. One of these days it'll be on the front of a tombstone. Matter of fact, if you go to this place, right over here, there's a round marker that says GS on it. And another one over here, and one down here, and one down here. And one day I'll have a stone like that, and I'll be there. When I go there now, that makes me sad. My dad died in 2009. I miss him. Makes me sad. So separation creates sadness. Separation between us and people that matter to us. The price we pay for our ability to form bonds with one another. And then there's the loss of relationships even before people die. Justin, pop up one of the next pictures. You recognize that lady, don't you? This one right here? That's my sister Sue. She's a member of this church. She doesn't get to come here anymore because she doesn't get to live in her house anymore. Because sin brought disease to this earth. And not because of any bad things or anything that she did, but just because life here, as the kids say, sucks sometimes. So now she lives in this place. And I go there and serve communion and see her and visit her and sing sometimes. This morning, my phone rang. Because she has some level of dementia, and it makes her angry sometimes. And so when I see that number, I get sad. When I see her number come up on my phone, I get sad because I'm afraid I'm about to get chewed out, because that's how it happens a lot of times. This morning she called, and she was very cheery. She said, "I just called because you're getting ready to preach." And I was sad and glad all at the same time. And she didn't say a negative word. She's very happy. She said, "I just want you to know I miss being at church. Tell Tanya hi." And she said, "Okay, I'll talk to you later." She was happy. She enjoyed where she was at. I went there and served communion the other day, and she was out rousting people. "We're having communion. Get up. You need to come. Come and have my brother's here to serve communion. Everybody needs to have communion. Come and have communion." Well, I did that time before, and we had two people. Last time, she was out there rousting people again. We had 9 people. And she's convinced that eventually the whole place will be there, because she's going to herd them in. Because she loves me and she loves the Lord more. She just thinks everybody ought to have communion. That makes me sad, because I remember when she used to be here every Sunday. I also remember the times in between getting this to happen that she would come and pop up in the middle of a sermon and ask a question that had nothing to do with anything I was saying. And I felt bad for her. That makes me sad. Give me the next picture, Justin. That's my brother Eddie. When I was 16, he was 19, he got viral encephalitis, had total amnesia for 7 months, and has never had a short-term recall really since then, and has about 60% of his memory before age 19. He likes McDonald's. I can tell him on a holiday, I can tell him, okay, for this holiday, for Christmas, I'm going to give you this present. I will take you anywhere, and this is really, it's safe for me to do this. I have no worries. Because I can say, I will take you anywhere you want to go. And I know where we're going. We're going to McDonald's, and we're going to have a fish sandwich and a Dr. Pepper and a strawberry shake. And it better not be in a small cup, because I'm going to fill it up again before I leave to take home with me. And I want all the Dr. Pepper I can get. We have this argument every time we go, Eddie, free refills. Let's get a small cup. It costs less. No. I want the big cup to take with me. I figure the steak I'm buying here is cheaper than the steak I'd have to buy somewhere else. I can afford the big Dr. Pepper. My brother was a state qualifier in track. He was president of his student body. He had everything going for him. And this happened. That makes me sad. One of the saddest days of my life was when they brought him home the first time when he had total amnesia and he didn't know who I was. My big brother. I looked up to my big brother all my life. He didn't know me. Just stared at me. One night before he was moved off into other places, one night while he was at the house, I was laying on the floor and he had his senior ring on. Somewhere. There it is. Like that. He had his senior ring on. He's laying in the hide of bed. I'm laying on the floor. I'm watching TV. He rolled his ring around like this, and he said, you know what I was just thinking, Gary? I was just thinking I could whack and crush your skull with this thing. He was dead serious. That kind of made me sad. But when my brother can't remember anything else, on October 10th, every year, I get a call from my brother to tell me happy birthday. That makes me glad. Give me the other picture, Justin, please. Yesterday, this is my Uncle Howard and my Aunt Carol. Went to visit them yesterday. Uncle Howard has been Church God Holiness preacher for a lot of years. He's part of the reason I'm in the ministry today. And he's spoken love and Jesus into my life as long as I've known him. My Aunt Carol, was the longest running checker in consumers market history. Over 36 years as a checker, consumers markets. He was bivocationally, worked for City Utilities, all 5'6" of him. I think he may have even spoken here once or twice in the 33 years I've been pastor here. Uncle Howard has Alzheimer's now. When I went there yesterday, we took some alterations my wife had done for Aunt Carol. Aunt Carol can still visit with you, and she's forgetting a few things, but you can still carry on a conversation and have a good time, and she kind of helps Uncle Howard along. Uncle Howard says a lot of things. They just don't go together. But he's always happy. You know why? When you talk about Jesus, he lights up. I said something. I took a picture. I took my tablet, Debbie, Cheryl. You got to understand, Cheryl's double related into this. Because her mama was Aunt Carol's sister. And they married brothers. So there's all kinds of weird stuff going on there. Debbie's granddaughter, Ashlyn, got baptized here. Logan and Ashlyn come to church here. And I was showing Uncle Howard the picture. I said, you baptized a few people. And he was saying stuff. Man, he was so excited.
I couldn't understand anything he was saying, and the sentences didn't go together. But I knew in his mind, the thoughts were perfect. Having to do things you don't want to do. You know, having unreciprocated feelings or actions. When I was in fifth and sixth grade, Becky and Pam broke my heart. I had feelings for them. They didn't have any feelings for me. I never met a girl I didn't like. Failure. Failure makes me sad. Senior year, I was running in the 4x100 relay and dropped the baton in the exchange zone. And we were disqualified. And we were one of the best teams in the conference. That made me sad. Particularly when the coach forgot to turn the PA off and he was up in the press box and what he said wasn't positive. Not getting our way makes me sad. Both as adult and child. I didn't get my way as a child, I was sad. I don't get my way now, sometimes I get sad. Conflict. Some people think I like conflict, I don't. I avoid it usually more than I should. I have a tendency to want to pray about everything about 6 months longer than I should in order to deal with it. But I don't want to have people crossways with me. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to make people mad. I just want things to work out. The end of things. I thought it would be really cool when my kids moved out on their own. But when they stopped living in my house, that was sad. Now, my bank account is not as sad as it used to be. But it was sad when the kids moved out. And we could go on and on and on and on because there's all kinds of things that make us sad. Temporary emotions. A lot of these things are things we get over, we get past. My kids moved away, they found spouses, they had grandbabies. They bring grandbabies back home. I like it. Almost every sad situation can be turned into a glad situation with perspective and effort. But here's something else we need to consider. Almost all sadness is either the direct or indirect result of sin. Because most situations that make us sad are because something didn't go right. And the imperfections in this life are caused from the original sin. And sometimes we make bad choices and get bad results as a result of sin. And sometimes other people make bad choices and give us bad results, you know, because of their sin. So there's just a lot of stuff going on out there. Let me read to you a verse, Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Life, if you live life along the way, you're going to have some moments of sadness. But when life is sad, God is good. Okay? Let me run you into some things right quick here to move you from sad to glad. Here's what we know. God is good all the time. If you read that same 13th chapter and get on down to verses 5 and 6, the psalmist said, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." Yeah. We go into John chapter 3, verse 16. We find that verse that says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." That makes me glad. Sin can make us sad, but God makes us glad. He gives us an alternative. He gives us a way out. And the fact of the matter is, in order for all of this to happen, Jesus came here and lived. And in Matthew 9, in verse 35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And even at the same time, while Jesus was making some people glad, he was making other people sad. Or more mad. Because he was causing them to see their own sin in their lives. In John chapter 16... We read the following verses. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And so we read here, and then in the 13th verse, it says this to us. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And so this whole deal with Jesus came. God was trying to fix the problem. Animal sacrifices didn't fix the problem. Animal sacrifices didn't affect people's hearts. He sent Jesus, and when Jesus gets a hold of your heart, it changes. And then Jesus said, okay, I know you're not going to understand this, but I got to go. Because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come, and you're going to like the Holy Spirit. That's good stuff. So I'm going back to sit at the right hand of the Father and intercede on your behalf. And I've done what I came here to do. You know, he died on a cross. That made us sad. There were people all around that had followed him for these 33 years that he'd been around, 3 years in particular of ministry. And when they put him on the cross, these very people were right there at the foot of the cross grieving at the loss of their friend and loved one, leader. And one of those people was his mother. She was sad. But all of those people who were at the foot of the cross grieving, 3 days later, got over their sadness. Because Jesus showed up again. Jesus was resurrected. Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. And he explained through the disciple John later in his writings, in the second half of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, it says this: the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. All this stuff that's creating sadness in your life, God can deal with. God can turn your sadness into happiness if you trust Him and stick with Him. Sadness can have benefits. They tell us that it helps us to focus on things, that it indeed gives us a better perspective sometimes of life and where we can improve and move to a better place. There's all kinds of things that can be beneficial to us out of this issue of sadness. And Jesus, you know, talked about what all he was able to do and overcome. And here's what I want you to understand. That sometimes when we go through sadness, we can turn around and maybe help others as a result of it. But here's what Jesus said in Matthew 10:1. It says, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. So he passed on to us an authority that allows us in his name and through his power to help sad people get glad. We can become the representative. We can become the channel through which God can do these things. And this is what he says in John chapter 14 and verse 12. He says it this way: I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, and he will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. So Jesus left to give us the Holy Spirit to empower us to do the same things that he'd been doing while he was here. Except instead of being one of him, there's all of us. Multiplication. And God can get much more done. That ought to make us happy. It ought to bring joy to us to know that Jesus came to earth, overcame death, hell, and the grave, and said, I'm going back to the Father to pray for you and to send the Holy Spirit so you have a constant companion, counselor, and friend to help you with all of these issues. And so we once again learn that sadness doesn't have to be a permanent issue. The psalmist found that out, evidently. For in Psalm chapter 30, it reads like this, in the first three verses: I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave and you spared me from going down into the pit. And if you go on toward the end of the chapter, in verses 11 and 12, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Justin, can you take me back to that picture of my Uncle Howard? I can tell that when Uncle Howard is trying to talk and he can tell that you're not getting what he's saying, he gets frustrated. I think that makes him sad. But here's what I know. When you talk about Jesus, when you talk about the church, when you talk about ministry, when you talk about what Jesus does in a person's life, he gets happy. The joy of Jesus. The joy of Jesus. My Uncle Howard has that. He has the joy of Jesus. And he's always been a funny guy anyway. When you're 5'6", you got to kind of do something, you know. That's tough going through life that way. But he has a good time wherever he goes. He has the joy of Jesus. I don't know what God has for my future. I don't know what this earth is going to dish out to me. I don't know if I'm going to end up in a home like my sister and my brother. I don't know what life has for me. I know that whatever life has for me, my God is greater. And I know that whatever tough stuff happens, whatever sad things take place, God is good and will see me through. I have multiple family members who have gone through difficult times of various kinds, and so do you, which is why we ought to get this. God can take us beyond the stuff. And we can deal with whatever is handed out. We don't have to be sad. Sadness does not have to be our master. It doesn't have to control us. It's perfectly okay to be sad sometimes. It's appropriate to be sad sometimes. That's part of grieving, and some of those kinds of things are part of the process that God gives to us to heal. It's okay, you know, but we don't have to stay there. We can move out of that. We can move past that with what Christ does in our life, in our heart. It's the reason Jesus came. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Sin was the devil's work. He's the one that talked Adam and Eve into doing what they did. He started the whole thing because he's mad. I can just tell you right now, the devil's not ever going to get glad. But you can get glad. Because you don't have to be a victim of the devil. You don't have to face the future the devil faces, because that's why God sent Jesus. To get you out. To deliver you. To bring you joy. So the sadness of life can come, but it can go. And God will see us through. Whatever it is we face, if we'll trust our lives to Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we're here this morning to do business with You. And we're glad that no matter what makes us sad in life, it doesn't have to be forever. And it can be temporary. And You can move us past it. And we can take maybe those sad experiences that we had, and we can actually help somebody else overcome their sadness because of what we've been through. But Lord, we don't have to live defeated. We don't have to constantly be crying over spilled milk. We can indeed allow the Holy Spirit. We may not be able to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps like people tell us to sometimes, but God has the ability to pick us up and set us on the solid rock and bring us the joy of Jesus if we'll let Him. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that you're in grief, you're in sadness of some kind, and you've been there too long. It's not the same span for everybody, that's not what I'm getting at. But you know that God has something more for you, something better. And you're ready for God to pull you out of the pit. Pull you out of the hole. Bring light to your darkness. Give you hope. If you're here like that this morning, I'd just like to invite you to step out. make your way to these altars of prayer and let God give you victory, deliver you from your sadness, back to gladness and joy. Joy comes in the morning. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We don't have to be the victims of sadness forever. Some that are coming this morning. Anyone else that just needs a place to pray? I'm not saying that life will always be fun. I'm not saying we're going to laugh about everything. I'm just saying that God can move us from sadness into peace and joy. And sometimes you can have joy in your heart and not necessarily have a smile on your face. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. You don't have to laugh fake, but you can be at peace and have confidence that God's going to see you past whatever circumstance is stealing your joy right now, stealing your happiness. God can take care of your sadness. Anyone else that just needs a place to kneel and to lay down your sadness this morning? That's what we're here for. It's not about me. Not about this message per se, other than it's a message from God. If God wants to touch your life, God wants to move you past the sadness, grief. Not to forget people, not to erase memories. We'll have a tinge of sadness as we think about missing those people or those situations. But God can move us into being positive in life to be a benefit and a blessing to others. That's what He wants to do. That's what He wants to do. Anybody else? I'm getting ready to pray here for these that are here. Anybody else this morning that just needs a place to pray? You just want to lay your sadness down, give it to God. Okay, folks, here's what we're going to do. We're going to lay our sadness at the feet of Jesus. We're going to remember that the reason Jesus hung on the cross was to deliver us from the garbage of this life, to get us past that, to lift us up above it. We're reminded of that story about the eagle that takes the same winds that are destroying things below them, and he soars above them because of them. We're going to ask God to help us soar above the storms of life. We're going to ask God to help us get above our sadness, get above these things, that we might be a help to others, and that we might indeed be able to move forward, not in denial, not acknowledging, but overcoming. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus today. You know the hearts of these that are here kneeling at these altars. And Lord, there may be someone sitting in a chair today that just didn't, for whatever reason, want to come forward. But Lord, they're still dealing with some stuff. Lord, you can go to them where they are. We know that. We thank you for these that have responded to your call this morning, to your voice, saying, I want deliverance. I want to be an overcomer. Lord, you will not disappoint. And you will not ignore. But as these have come forward, you have embraced them. You've wrapped your arms around them. And you said, friend, son, I got this. I'm going to see you through. This does not have to be a deal breaker. I'm going to see you through. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you direction. I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to bring you the joy of knowing my son Jesus and all that he provided on the cross. So, Lord, I pray right now in this moment that you would go to the hearts of these who are kneeling and that you would fill them to overflow, this flood into their soul with your joy. It doesn't mean they're going to jump up and start laughing. But, Lord, the peace that passes all understanding, their mind is going to be stayed in you. They're going to have courage and confidence and, Lord, you're going to give them everything they need to negotiate this life. We thank you for that today. We thank you for your deliverance. We thank you for your care. We thank you for your coming and being in our lives through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we would have loved to have kept Jesus here, but we're glad he sent the Holy Spirit. Just like you provided Joshua when the people of Israel lost Moses, Lord, you gave us the Holy Spirit when you took Jesus back home. You've never forsaken us. You've never left us alone, and you never will. You've always been here with us, and we thank you for that. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. God will not desert us. We claim that this day. In the name of Jesus, we ask it, and all God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Gentlemen, be strong in the Lord. Let God speak to you and fill you with His Spirit and His love, and He will see you through the challenges of this life. He will be your constant companion, and He will help you to overcome the voids that sometimes the circumstances of life leave in your heart. He'll be with you. Let Him fill that void.
Crafted into
the back of your connect cards. Psalm 32 says, "O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me." That's the confidence that we need to have, that God hears us when we pray and he has the ability to respond to whatever our situation is. We need that confidence. We need to believe that. We need to have that faith. Remember that sadness is part of life. Remember that sadness is temporary, and regain joy through God's word. The promises of God, the things that God wrote in his word as a love letter to us, those are the things that we can take to the bank and cash in. And he will see us through. He will help us. If you're interested in information about being a follower of Jesus, baptism, church membership, opportunities to serve, or small groups, you can check that on the back as well. And you can drop these then in the offering plate. We appreciate so much you're giving us information. We can't communicate with you if you don't have your information. Those of you who are part of the pastor's welcome class, if you have your information sheets and various things that you took home with you, if you'll bring those back and return those to us at the office, we'll get you into the databases and be able to help you very quickly become a part of being involved in this church family. We love you and appreciate you, and pray that you will just continue to be a part of us. Pray for our VBS this week and all the things that are going on there. Remember that we indeed are still in the middle of a capital funds campaign trying to raise $30,000 over budget to do some things. I can tell you this, that has already begun to happen. There were two TVs that were installed this week in classrooms, and the third one is here that needs a mount, and we're looking into the sound equipment and the various other things that are part of that. And so thank you. We'll continue to do that as we raise the money. So that is above your tithes and offerings. We need your tithes and your tithes to operate the church budget. And so whatever you want to give above, designate that for the capital funds campaign. And we'll continue to try to make this the best facility that we possibly can for you to grow in the Lord, to bring your friends to know Christ, to be a place that we can receive God's message and direction for our lives, and then go out and do God's plan that he has for us. Pastor Don, come and receive the offering.
Indeed, thankful for each one of you that continues your faithful giving. God blesses when we give to him openly, freely. We serve a great God. God has a plan for the church. It's called tithes and offerings to keep things going, and we so much appreciate your faithful giving. Our ushers would come at this time. We'll receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Lonnie tried to make my heart glad a while ago. He came up to me and said, "You'd make a good Chester." I guess he was referring to the limp that I have in my leg. I don't know how glad that made me, but he shared with me anyway. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message of this day. The God who has the ability to turn darkness to light. The God who led his son to stand outside the tomb and call Lazarus, "Come forth." The God who resurrected his son on the third day, that we, believing in him, might have life everlasting. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the blessings of the tithes and offerings that you've given us to give and bring into your storehouse this day. In Christ's name, we ask your blessings on it. And as we go from your house, go with us in your love. In your divine presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.